series of tshuvos, beginning with Chelek Aleph Siman Sadiches, discusses what to do in a situation where there's a medical danger involved in water coming in contact with an ear. In the contemporary svarim, they refer to this as a chor betof ha'ozen. I didn't realize what tof ha'ozen was. Tof is a drum, so tof ha'ozen is an eardrum. So the situation that Rabosha is talking about, that the person discusses, is what's called a perforated eardrum, where there's some kind of a hole in the inner part of the ear, which runs the danger of infection, or to come in contact with water. So that's the context in which Rav Moshe discusses his chiddush, the two types of chatzitzos, a chatzitza from an outside substance versus a chatzitza from part of the body, where the latter is less of a problem or not a problem in base hastar. But the way the question was posed to Rav Moshe is whether you can insert a piece of cotton that is dipped in or coated with Vaseline into the ear. I was a little bit surprised. The tshuva is written in Luban in the early 1930s. I didn't realize that they had Vaseline back then, or that it was called Vaseline. But apparently petroleum jelly was invented in the 1870s, and the term Vaseline goes all the way back there, even though it's a brand name, really. But Vaseline is the merging of the German or Yiddish Wasser for water, together with ilion, which is a Greek word for olive oil. That's how you get Vaseline. So Russia refers to Vaseline in the 1930s. Apparently, even in Russia, back then they called it Vaseline. So the question was, can you take a piece of cotton and dip it in Vaseline, which is the general recommendation, how does someone with a perforated eardrum take a shower? You put a cotton ball with Vaseline in your ear. So with that constitute a chasisa. So the way the Shoel posed the problem is, obviously, it's a chasisa midirabbanan, but are there grounds to be makel on a chasisa midirabbanan b'makom igun, where there's no other way that the woman could become tahora labayla? And Rav Moshe refutes that assumption and says, not so pashut, that it's even a chasisa midirabbanan. Rav Moshe notes, for example, the Mishnah in Shabbos and Daf Samach Daled, one of the cases in the Me Isha is that a woman is allowed to walk out on Shabbos b'moch sheve ozneha, with a cloth in her ear. And we know, as we discussed previously, the Mishnayos there indicate that there's a correspondence between what constitutes a chatzitza in Hilchos Tevila and what constitutes an Isser Hotzah. If something is chotzeis, it's going to be Asr Hotzah. If something is not chotzeis, then it would not necessarily be Asr Hotzah. So the fact that the Mishnah indicates Moshe Bosneha is not a problem with chatzitza. Sounds like Moshe Bosneha. Sorry, the fact that the Mishnah indicates that Moshe Bosneha is not a problem with chatzitza. Sounds like Moshe Bosneha is not a problem of chatzitza also. In the end, Moshe concludes that the Lemaisa Malkum Igud, where this woman is not going to be able to go to the mikvah otherwise, she's allowed to, better to put in a piece of cotton without the Vaseline. And you really see from the Mishnah in Shabbos that a dry piece of cotton or cloth in an ear is not a chatzitza. And even if the doctor says you need to put Vaseline in it, that's also okay. Just like moch tabel b'shemen, which isn't a problem of hotzah. So cotton ball and Vaseline is equivalent to moch tabel b'shemen. There's Yushami like that. Even though the Yushami is not quoted by Poskim, it doesn't mean the Yushami is not accepted l'alacha. So even if it's tabel b'shemen, that could be acceptable. Obviously, clean out whatever you can. Make sure there's no residue to the extent that you can. But bottom line, if there's no other choice, then you're allowed to use a piece of cotton or a piece of cotton with lined with Vaseline to put into the ear. Our Meir Arik Shuvas Imre Yosher. Yeah.
Ramosha doesn't discuss, let's say, it's just a few weeks thing that would heal.
Ramosha is discussing a more acute problem. He doesn't weigh in these tshuvas where you draw the line, if something is going to heal in a few weeks, better to wait. So it could be better to wait. But we're mostly talking about a case where there's a long-term acute issue that isn't going to go away quickly. Remeir Arav Shuvas Imre Yosher Chelik Aleph Simen Kuf Sadi Hei Chelik Aleph Simen Kuf Sadi Hei also discusses and allows for putting cotton in the ear under these circumstances. He raises the issue that this may be analogous to a ritia, to a bandage, which we'll talk about a little bit later, where, at least according to some poskim, if there's going to be a sakana involved in its removal, so maybe it's not a chatzisa, even though this isn't the classic sakana case, it's not where it's there anyway, and it's a sakana to remove it, it's that you're putting it in to avoid the potential sakana of having water come in contact with the ear. But bottom line, the Imre Yosher is willing to be mako under such circumstances to allow for putting cotton in the ear and not constituting a chatzitza. The Pesach Das, page Shin Pei Hei, quotes from Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv felt that cotton in the ear was a chatzitza under all circumstances and wasn't willing to permit using cotton as a solution for the perforated eardrum. Poskim discuss other potential solutions. Shuvas Avnei Nezer, Yerodeya Simen Reish Samach Beis, Yerodeya Simen Reish Samach Beis, and the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer quotes a suggestion which he's not prepared to endorse, although this does appear in the Chelkas Yoav, Chelik Aleph Yerodeya Simen Lamed, Chelkas Yoav, Chelik Aleph Yerodeya Simen Lamed. The Avnei Nezer quotes this suggestion without attributing it to a source, that if you have cotton that's already been inserted into the ear for 7 days, so just like in Hilchos Shabbos, if you have a knot that's knotted or tied for 7 days, that would be considered kesher shel chayam, at least midrabanan. So maybe if you have something embedded in the ear for at least 7 days prior to the tefillah, that's already considered batel to the body. The Avnei Nezer doesn't like that. The Avnei Nezer says maybe it would have to be a Kesher Shel Chayam D'Oraisa, maybe it would have to be there for much longer. I think he throws that half a year. But what he does suggest is the following age. Take a look in Se'if Kav Ches, here in Simen Kuf Tzadi Ches. Simen Kuf Tzadi Ches, Se'if Kav Ches, in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber writes, based on a Mishnah in Mikvos, Lo sochas b'chaverta b'yadeha b'shas tvila. So another woman shouldn't hold a woman who's going into the mikvah, because that point of contact could constitute a chatzitza. El imkein rafsa yada kedei sheyavoa mayim b'makom achisas yadeha, unless the woman holding the immerser moistens her hands with mikvah water, such that at the point of contact between her hands and the toveles, her hands will already have immersed themselves in mikvah water and will not constitute a chatzitza. In hidicha yadeh b'mayim tchila shari shemashka tefeach shal yadeh chibur l'mei mikvah. If she rinses her hands in the mei mikvah, so the water on her hands is considered chibur l'mei mikvah and it doesn't constitute a chatzitza. So along these lines, that if you have another body that immerses in the mikvah or immerses that part of the body in the mikvah, so that moisture on the hand, when it comes in contact with the tavelas, doesn't cut through the chatzitza, it's considered all a chibor. So Yavne Nezer suggests if a woman can't get water in her ear, she should wet her ear in the mikvah water first, and then, wet her finger in the mikvah water first, and then stick her finger into her ear, so now the finger in the ear is going to prevent new water from coming into the ear, and that's still considered ro'i l'bias mayim. It's not that you've prevented the possibility of water coming into the ear, because you could just as well remove the finger, and then it would be ro'oi l'bi'as mayim. So even though the finger is still there, it's still considered ro'oi l'bi'as mayim. That's the Avnei Nezer suggestion. So wet your finger in the water first and stick it into the ear. That'll prevent more water coming into the ear, and it's not going to be a chisaron of chasis or ena ro'oi l'bi'as mayim, because fundamentally it's still ro'oi l'bi'as mayim. Okay? In the Sefer Shari Tfila, Simon Mem Aleph, he quotes this suggestion of the Avnei Nezer. He raises a number of questions. Number one, he says, what good is it that if you took your finger out, it would be considered ro'oi l'bi'as mayim? Bottom line, right now, your finger's there. So at this moment, it's not ro'oi l'bi'as mayim.
So did he say that one of
them called that? Yeah, or at least that's probably only 1 year, but yeah. So the Shari Tfila asks, why is that considered ro'oi l'bi'as mayim at the moment? It's impossible for water to get in. So that's not rather BS 9. And then he says, if you're going to stick your finger into your ear, then you may solve one problem, create another problem. Because if you're sticking your finger into your ear, that's an unnatural position, and that's going to potentially result in other kematim, other folds in your finger that wouldn't be there in your normal tevila posture, which could create another potential chatzitza problem, right? You have to be tovelis without folding up any part of your body. So if you're going to stick your finger in, memela, your finger is going to be bending at certain points, and that could create kematim of folds or crevices in the finger that could potentially be a independent chatzitza problem. First problem?
Yeah.
That's not ro'oi l'bi'as mayim. If you're blocking the water from coming in at the moment that you're going to the mikveh, that's not ro'oi l'bi'as mayim. Yeah.
What's the difference between keeping my mouth closed?
So that's what we discussed last time. It could be keeping your mouth closed is the natural position. So you don't have to go, as long as you're not keeping it shut. Even if you're not going to say like the Aruch HaShulchan that Rav Moshe didn't like, that the water can actually go in, but it's a default, natural, relaxed position, which is normal. If you're closing your ear, so that's not normal, that you're doing something active to prevent water from coming in. I'm not sure what the best response to his question about ro'oi l'bi'as mayim is, but as far as the second concern, in the Piskei Das, he points out that the way out of the second concern of having kematim in your finger is to have someone else stick their finger in your ear when you go to the mikvah. So you have another woman, like the case that we just quoted in Shulchan Aruch, of Lo Sochas B'Chaverta V'Yadea, unless she wets her hand. So you have another woman wet her finger, and stick her finger in your ear when you go into the mikvah, and that way we're not worried about kematim in your body because it's not your finger that is in your ear. And it sounds like from his presentation that Rav Elyashiv was at least moderately supportive of this option. In the Shari Tfila, he has another suggestion. He says, better than Vaseline, before that there's a Kazanish. Kazanish is in Simen Sadi Dalid, the end of Osches, Simen Sadidal, the end of Osches. Chazon Ish, in discussing the case of a perforated eardrum, where you can't avoid in the ear, discusses the possibility of lining the cotton with shemen. Or dipping it in shemen. Shemen as a liquid may not be mekabel, may not constitute a chatzitza. Just like dvash doesn't constitute a chatzitza. So the Shari Tvila says, even better suggestion, use fish oil. Why is fish oil better? So the Mishnah in Mikvos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Zayin, has a machlokas tanaim, Perek Vav, Mishnah Zayin. Rishon Galil's of the opinion that kosher be bria samayim tahor. That anything that is created from the water is tahor, and wouldn't constitute a chatzitza. Just like mayim doesn't constitute a chatzitza, kosher b'yosam in a mayim wouldn't constitute a chatzitza also. Ayin od zvach and kaf beis, where it sounds like we assume that way, at least in certain contexts, la halacha. So based on this, he suggests that if you have fish oil is from fish. Fish is briyasa min amayim. You have to get through a number of other steps to get to this point, but assuming that kosher briyasa min amayim applies to any derivative of something that grows in the water, so if you have fish oil that derives from fish, then that potentially would not constitute a chatzitza, so maybe that's even better than regular shemen or better than vaseline. And so he says, the best is to put the fish oil in your ear without the cotton. So I'm not sure how that works or how it stays. But even if you have to put it on cotton, so better fish oil on cotton than some other substances on cotton. So that's his suggestion. He presents it like, he thought of this and no one had thought of this before, a way to solve the world's problems, to use fish oil. The Pesach Das quotes that Rav Yashiv was accepting of that as well, in theory. He talks about just putting the fish oil plain out in cotton, because Rav Yashiv was against cotton, period. Putting in fish oil. And he quotes here, Rabbi Morgenstern himself, that it's not going to solve the problem medically, because the concern is of water potentially infecting the ear, the hole in the ear. And even fish oil is water-based, so it doesn't solve the problem. I spoke to my friendly neighborhood ENT, Dr. Lederreich, who told me that he thinks fish oil would not pose a problem, and he has had patients that have come to him either to insert regular cotton for tefillah purposes or to insert cotton with fish oil for tefillah purposes. So this is out there as suggestions implemented l'maisa by Poskim. And then his Rabbi Morgenstern's fourth suggestion here, which he thinks says Rabbi Yashiv said is the best, is to just put in antibiotic drops. Sounds like he's saying put on the antibiotic drops and then go to the mikvah straight. But Dr. Lederach told me he didn't think that was medically warranted, that you wouldn't advise someone to put themselves in a situation to risk infection just because you gave them antibiotics ahead of time. So If that's the case, then we're back to either someone else's finger, which is probably not always so practical, or the either cotton with Vaseline, cotton with fish oil, or fish oil without cotton. Okay.
You put in the ear, you just take this
the antibiotic?
Yeah.
Antibiotic you put in the ear. And the drops you put in the ear. But apparently things can get stuck in your ear. Dr. Lederach was telling me that he had a patient once who was complaining about whatever they were complaining, and he discovered embedded in the ear was a baby tooth. Apparently this person once had gone to sleep with a tooth under her pillow waiting for the tooth fairy, and the tooth got embedded in the ear and was there for a very long time without anyone noticing. So you should be careful when you put in your pillow. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on back. I forgot my Gemara. Okay, the Gemara on Samos Zayin and Aleph, where we started. The three Memros, where we have Machlokes, Gaonim, and Rashi. Thank you so much. Whether Hilchasa Kahani Shmaisa or not, do we say Les Hilchasa Kahani Shmaisa? So the first Memra on Samos Zayin and Aleph was Amar Rami Bar Abba Hani Rami de Kisvaisa de Kisilsa, sorry, Atlas Yomi Lo Chaitzi Mikan Ela Chaitzi. What is Rabbi de Kisvaisa? Says Rashi, Darkan Shel Makos Shel Hakazas Dam Lahavos Glad. So it's referring to a scab that forms after bloodletting. So this scab that forms after bloodletting, according to Rami Bar Chama, up to the first 3 days does not constitute a chatzitza. Rashi, Gildan Rach, and Mukhubar Bhavi Kagufa Basar Lochaitzi. Up to that point, it's still moist. It's connected to the body, it's considered part of the body and not chotzeitz. After that, where it hardens, Mikan Ve'ela Chaitzi. So then it's considered external to the body and constitute a chatzitza. Again, according to the Rambam, this meimer is not lahalacha, but according to many of Yishonim, it is indeed lahalacha, and lashon ha-mechaber dav yavesh ala maka chotzeis v'rir shebesach ena chotzeis yasa harir mitocha kol tov gimel yam emlachu v'ena chotzeis v'lachem ikan yavesh ala chotzeis. So the mechaber does have this distinction between first 3 days being moist and afterwards being yavesh v'chotzeis. Now, what is the context or the scope of where this distinction applies? Rishon Rabbadar had a square, Ar Gemara, with Mishnayis in Mikvos. So before we see the Mishnayis in Mikvos, according to the Rambam, there's no problem. The Rambam says Ar Gemara is not lahalacha, so you don't have to worry how to square with the Mishnayis in Mikvos. But according to those Rishonim, who assume that Ar Gemara is lahalacha, 1 second, Aaron. So how do you square this Gemara with two Mishnayis in the ninth parak of Mikvos? Parak Tesa Mikvos is the parak of all the details of Chatzitza. So Mishnah Beis, in the list of things that are Chotzeis, the Mishnah has Galad Shechutz Lamaka, a scab that is external to the wound. That is Chotzeis. And in Mishnah Dalid, the Mishnah has Galad Sha'al Hamaka, a scab that is over the wound, which is on the list of things that are not chotzeis. So again, Mishnah Beis, Galad Shechutz Hamaka is chotzeis. Mishnah Dalid, Galad Sha'al Hamaka is not chotzeis. And the Mishnayos there don't distinguish between within 3 days or after 3 days. All right.
Generally, you don't have meaning of the Gemara. The Gemara will be bothered by how you can't be against this on the issue. But if the Bryce of this after one, they're probably because there's no issues, but against them. Even having meaning of the Gemara, the Gemara will say how you have the Hamid is against the Mishnah. So even the Rambam will have to address how it's against. If it is against the submission, then it would have to be problematic for the Rambam also.
Right, okay, fine. It's not, lahalach is not an issue, but correct. Okay, fine, good. Okay, so the Ramban asks his kasha. The Ramban here samach zayin amid al adir masal v'kashalan. So the Ramban writes as follows: Glad she'al hamaka nami mishum haytaimahu delo avid inish lekalif glad makaso. So when it comes to a glad she'al hamaka, which the Mishnah says is not chotzeitz, so a glad she'al hamaka, scab that develops on top of the wound, why isn't it chotzeitz? Delo avid inish lekalif glad makaso. It's not normal for someone to scrape off such a scab, mishum de kasha lemaka, because it's difficult, it presumably means painful, to the wound to scrape off the scab. Adiya vishumak with minafshe. You just wait until it dries out, and then eventually it'll come off on its own. Vikasavar de hudafka shomaka. So that din, glach alhamaka, that's talking about a scab that develops over a normal wound. It's part of the body's natural healing process. Aval ribda de kusilta atla sayom in de lo kapit inish ala lo chaitza mikan ve'elach chaitza. However, when it comes to ribda de kusilta, when it comes to a scab that develops after you let blood, so there's a distinction between the first 3 days and the last 3 days, or and after 3 days. Within the first 3 days, a person isn't kapit, doesn't care about the presence of the scab. Mikan ve'elach chaitza. Afterwards, he does. So presumably, in that contrast, it sounds like this is a different quality of scab, where it's not kasha lemaka, it's not painful to remove it, like a regular kind of scab, and therefore, after 3 days, it would constitute a chatzitza, because a person is makbid, and would typically remove it. Inami, says Ramban, atla sayom in lacha v'lo ma'akva, maya, mikan ve'ela, chaitza, de'yevesha, v'kapitala. Or, within the first 3 days, because it's moist, it doesn't prevent water from coming in. So it's not a chatzitza at all. And after 3 days, when it starts to dry, then a person is makbid. But either way, the distinction is between ribda de kasilta as a unique type of glad, where there's a distinction between first 3 days and the last 3 days, as opposed to glach alamaka, which is not chotzeitz, because it's kasha lamaka adiyavish, the person always leaves it there, there's some pain involved in its removal, and therefore it doesn't constitute a chatzitza. Okay, again, according to the Rambam, this 3-day distinction does exist for halacha, so there's no, if it's a glacha alamaka, then within 3 days, after 3 days, it doesn't make a difference. It's not going to be chotzeitz, and if it's a glad chutzamaka, then it will be chotzeitz. Okay, but again, the Ramban seems to indicate that if you have a scab which is going to cause pain to remove, that doesn't constitute a chatzitza, that's not considered makbid. Even though, if all things were equal, you'd rather it not be here, but if it causes pain to remove, just like the Mordechai sakana in the hair braids, the Ramban seems to say that tsar is in a similar category. That wouldn't constitute a chatzitza, it's not considered a kipeda. And that's what the Beis Yosef here quotes from the Mordechai Tavshin Memches, the Shem Shuvah Sari, Mordechai Tavshin Memches, the Shem Shuvah Sari, that Me'ikar Adin, such a scab is now considered a chatzitza, where there's tsar involved in its removal. Nevertheless, the Ri is quoted as saying that the minhag is either to remove it or to wait until it goes away on its own. So that's what the Taz quotes over here in Sifkat and Yudalid. The Hevi Marshal Haga Achas Vizal, Tasakat in Yudalid, the Garab Lagabi Tfila Tzvichala Hasir. You have to remove the scab. Afa Pisha Kaiv Laharvi, even if it hurts a lot. The Ishto Shel Marachor is a Rua. Haif the Tzvichalama the fun of Aruma. Shehiroa Shalohaya Garab Aleha. Shahaya Roa Shalohaya Garab Aleha. Shalohaya Maminla. Shaisa Masira. Shaisa Nara. Haya Kaivla. So both the Maracha and Zerua and the Sarmikotzi were extremely makbid to make sure that every possible scab be removed prior to Tevila. So is that a Me'ikar Adin consideration or is that a Chumra? So the Mordechai that we just quoting the Ri, presents that as a Chumra. Same thing in the smack, the Beis Yosef quotes over here, Beis Yosef quotes in the smack, here gilu hanashim lahasir me'alein kol grav v'kol shtin, that the minhag was, the regilus, the norm was to remove all scabs, afa bi shemin adin lo yetzarech, even though me'ikar adin, it wasn't necessary. So the smack's presentation also is clearly a chumra, me'ikar adin, if it's something that would be painful to remove, it's not considered to be a chatzisa. However, the minhag developed to be machmir. However, the Siddur Torah points out, Sifkatan Kaf Gimel, paragraph beginning the two kasha, Sifkatan Kaf Gimel, paragraph beginning the two kasha, Siddur Torah points out, the Sarmi Kotzi didn't sound like that. The fact that the Sarmi Kotzi was machbid to inspect his wife himself and not to rely on her representations would seem to indicate that he was concerned that this was a potential chatzisa mikra din. If it was only a chumrah, then why would he go to such lengths? And it sounds like he assumed the fact that there's no distinction, that even if a woman is going to have pain from removing the scab, it's still necessary to do so mikra din. After all, there's no distinction in the Mishnayos between tsar and lack of tsar. Now, the Ramban himself seems to present the goof of the distinction between a glatch alamak and the chutzamak as being a function of tsar. But the Siddur Torah presents within the Shitas HaRishonim that were mafmir that if you read the Mishnayos at face value, there's no distinction between if there's tsar or if there is no tsar. Tzemach Tzedek Lubavitch, Yoredeya Simin Kufnun Ches Osvav, Chuvas Tzemach Tzedek, Yoredeya Simin Kufnun Ches Osvav, presents that the reason of the Machmirim, if you're going to assume that any scab is Asir Mikra Din, even if it creates a tsar, so he says that might be analogous to the classic case of Tabas, that just like if you have a ring, so normally speaking, it doesn't bother you, but there's some times that you remove it, and that's considered makbid. So here too, most situations, a scab doesn't create tsar, so even if there may be some situations where there's tsar, that's not enough to make it eno makbid. Rav Akiva Eiger has a different analysis of the machmirim. Rabbi Kiveger in Tshuva, Simon Samach, paragraph beginning Vizeh. Simon Samach, paragraph beginning Vizeh. Rabbi Kiveger says, why would you distinguish between the case of a scab, where, according to the Sarmi Kotzi and the Marako Zerua, we assume it's a chatzitza me'ikar din, even if there's tsar? Why would you distinguish between that and the cases of sakana, where we're mekel, that if there's sakana to remove something, it's not considered makbid, but if there's tsar, it still is considered makbid. So Rigveger says that when it comes to sakana, there's a certain objective barometer, objective status, that you're not going to remove something that's dangerous to remove. And there's no equivocation. If you have something that there's a sakana to remove, you're not going to remove it, period. If you have something where it's painful to remove, so sometimes people tolerate pain, people have different thresholds for pain. People may decide to try anyway or to remove it little by little. If it's potentially cosmetically harmful, it's in a place where a person is sensitive, they don't want the scab there. So theoretically, even if it's painful, you can do it very carefully, remove a little by little, and minimize or at least tolerate the pain. So as opposed to by sakana, where no one's going to remove something where there's a sakana involved in its removal, when it comes to tsar, that's more subjective. So even if it's painful, but someone may decide to tolerate the pain and remove it anyway because of other considerations. So it's not as sharp a line as we have by sakana. Now, Siddur Tara also raises the following point. Siddur Tara, the same, this is in Sifkatan Kavav, paragraph beginning Mikol Makom. Sifkatan Kavav, paragraph beginning Mikol Makom. So, to explain the Makilim, the position of the Smak and the Mordechai, that the Igar Adin, if something's painful, it's not a Chatzitza, just a Ramachmir, if we can, to remove it anyway. The Siddur Tara says, why is that different than the case of Chais, the case of an arrow, a splinter, which we'll talk about in Sifur Aleph, that if you have a splinter that's embedded in the body, which protrudes past the skin line, that's considered a chatzitza. So there also, there's tsar involved, presumably removing the splinter, removing the arrow, removing the bullet. So why is that any different if you're going to be makel, if you're machmir by the case of chaitz or a splinter, then how could you be makel by the scab where there is tsar to remove the scab? So you suggest, according to the makilim, you have to distinguish between something which is part of the body and something which is totally extraneous to the body. The splinter or the arrow is totally extraneous to the body. It's not part of the body. The scab is something that grows as part of the body. What's the base of that distinction? So part of it seems to be that if it's part of the body, then there's a more plausible argument that it's considered batal to the body. If you have no interest in removing that because it's painful, and it's really part of the body, so you can more easily say that's batal to the body than if you have an arrow that pierces the body, which is a foreign object. It's a lot easier to say that something which grows as part of the body is batal to the body than to say that a foreign object is batal to the body. The way the Badi Shulchan says it, Be'urim page Kafches, Be'urim page Kafches, is that if it's something that's part of the body, even though you're going to remove it later on, as long as right now you want it to be there, then you can say it's batel to the guf. If it's not part of the body, so then even though, because I know I'm going to remove it at some later point, even though I don't want to remove it right now, then that's considered to be makir. Or as the Mereshis Moshe says a little bit differently, that if something is part of the body, then you're more at peace with the fact that it's there. It doesn't bother you as much if you have something that grew as part of your body that is there, even if it doesn't look nice, as opposed to something that's an external object that got embedded in the body, so then you don't come to terms in the same way with the fact that it's there. So there's more of a competitive vow. But that's the distinction that the Siddur Tara suggests for the Makilim, for the Mordechai, that if you have something which is external to the body, the arrow, the splinter that comes from the outside, so then even if there's tsar involved in removing it now, but because at some point you are going to remove it, that's considered to be chotzeis, as opposed to something which is, which grew on the body, a scab. So as long as there's tsar involved in removing it now, even if I will remove it or fall off later, that's not considered to be chotzeis. So that's as far as ha-makilim, the Mordechai, the smak, udi'ime. Okay, the bottom line, by the Shulchan Paskins, Sivkatit Ayin Ches, that if you have a scab, actually before that, we should just emphasize one more piece in Shulchan Aruch, which I glossed over before. The end of Siv Tes Mechaber writes, Sifikach Isha Balas Chatatim Tzricha Lachuf B'mayim Ashi Yisrachuchu. So if a woman has certain... How do you translate chatatim?
Folds.
Sorry?
Those are the folds.
No, those are kamatim.
Oh.
Chatatim is like stuff in the hair that it's not dandruff. It's some kind of skin, like loose skin or what's the word? Skin that's in the process of falling off, that's loose.
Dead skin?
Maybe dead skin. There's another word. So the chatatim, you should rinse it off, achiz raku, until it moistens, softens, and then basically falls off. So Badi Yishofen Paskin, Sifkatin Ayyufes, he thinks bottom line lemaisa, if you have a scab, which is painful to remove, then at least you should moisten it, and even if by moistening it it doesn't come off, you could still be makel like those who shown him, the smak, the Mordechai, then the Ikar Adin, the Malkam Sar, like the Ramban, basically the Ikar Adin, the Malkam Sar, it's not considered makel, it's not a chatzisa. He points out the Mishnah Brura may sound like this in Hilchos Matilas Yadayim, the Mishnah Brura Simon Kuf Samach Alus of Katan Tesayin, Mishnah Brura Simon Kuf Samach Alus of Katan Tezayin. A little bit of a mashmos there that if there's tsar involved in removing it, you don't have to remove it if push comes to shove. Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Rav Yashiv, Pei Shin Ayin Hei, that where there's no other option, then if you have a scab that too painful to remove, you can leave it there and just rely on the softening of it in water to the extent that you can. It doesn't sound like it has to be softened to the point that it actually falls off, because then it's off. Right? You soften it to the extent that you can, and then you can go to the mikvah. The Ikar Adin, we assume, like those Rishonim who are makel. Rav Avner, Shira Shevet Alevi, Pei Shin Lamed Beis, said that if someone has eczema, so you don't have to go crazy in removing anything that may potentially start to peel off. You should remove whatever is easily comes off, and then you can rely on the rikach for whatever doesn't come off easily. And Rabbi Morgan's request the same from Rav Yashiv, just have it soak in water to the extent possible, and then you don't have to make yourself more crazy than that. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about bandages. If you're retiash ala maka chotzeses, so if you have a bandage that's ana maka, that's a chasisa, that's the Mishnah in Periches Mikvos, Mishnah Beis, on the list of things that are chotzeis. Variation on a theme, take a look at Sif Kaf Gimel. Hashirim, and Azamim, and Tavos, various bracelets, and rings, and nose rings, etc. Imhein Rafui, Imhein Ochotzim, Imhein Budak, and Ochotzim, that we saw before. V'chein Adin, V'eged Shalamaka, V'kaskasim Shalashever. Eged Shalamaka, if you have some kind of cloth or some kind of bundle that's protecting a wound, that also is a chazitza if it is mehudak. And then take a look at Sif Mem Gimel. Aspalanis milugma v'ritiyah shal beis hastarim. So a medicated bandage or a plain bandage that's covering beis hastarim, chotzitzin, that constitutes a chatzitza. Afu b'she'enim tzvichim sheyichim tzibem b'mayim. Even though the mind does not go into beis hastarim, tzvichim sheyiruyim v'lo yehid b'em davar chotzitz, it has to at least be ro'i l'bias mayim. And if you have a bandage that's blocking a beis hastarim area, then that's not ro'i l'bias mayim. Okay. So what kind of bandage are we talking about here in Se'if Yud? So the Chachmas Adabi asks this question in Kuf Yetes Zayin. So we just learned that a glad shalamak, if you have a scab which is potentially painful to remove, then maybe then that doesn't constitute a chatzitza. So are we talking about a ritiya that's painful to remove, or are we talking about a ritiya that's removed more easily? What ritiya are we talking about? So in the Sefer Shari Tvila here, Simen Lamed Ches Oth Beis, he points out Rav Kiva Eger Drush V'Chiddush, page Kuf Gimel. Rav Kiva Eger Drush V'Chiddush, page Kuf Gimel, says we're talking about a ritiya where there's no tsar in its removal. You have a bandage that's covering the wound, but there's no pain involved in removing it. And then he quotes from the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, the Italian one, not Rav Huttner, that they were talking about where you have to, they're talking about a bandage that you would remove on a regular basis anyway. So says Rav Avadia, page Lamed Ches, we're talking about a bandage that you normally change on a regular basis, there's no tsar, but in a chanami, if it's a bandage that would be painful to remove, that you don't change regularly, then that would be like Lid Shalamaka, where if there's tsar, Mikra Din, it doesn't constitute a chatzitza. And Rav Avadia quotes a number of other achronim who say that way as well. By the Shulchan, the Urim Pej Lamed isn't sure where you draw the line in terms of bimeko on what's considered a kind of bandage that would not constitute a chatzitza. Chuvas Divrei Chaim, it sounds a Rav, Yaradei Achele Beis Simen Samachei. Divrei Chaim, Yaradei Achele Beis Simen Samachei writes that if we're talking about a ritiya that you don't remove on a regular basis, it's considered a sakana, and that's definitely not a chatzitza. So if it's possible to remove the bandage without any sakana, without any pain, remove it. If there's a chashash sakana, if there's significant pain, then just rinse the area where the bandage is with hot water to the extent that you can, and you can go to the mikvah, period. Gilyon Marsha here on the side to Sif Yud is Mitzaye Mar Mekamos and Hilchos Natilas Yadayim. He says, take a look at the Magen Avraham, Simen Kuf Samach Bey Sif Katin Yuches. What's the Magen Avraham talking about? So Shulchan Aruch, it says, Simen Kuf Samach Bey Sif Yud and Natilas Yadayim. Simen Kuf Samach Bey Sif Yud. Mi Sheyesh Lamaka B'yado V'ritiya Lev. A person has a wound on his hand and has a bandage covering it. So it's sufficient to wash the other part of the hand and avoid the area where the bandage is. Says the Magen Avraham, there's Sifkat in Yuches. So the din in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim is talking about a ritiya that you're not makbid on. If you're makbid on it, then it would constitute a chatzitza. Sounds like even potentially if it's painful to remove. Why should that be? Why would you be makbid even if it's painful? Shuvas k'sav sofer yoredeya simen tzadi aleph. Shuvas Ksav Sofer Yoredeya Simen Tzadi Aleph. He says that any bandage a person will sometimes remove to check on the progress of the wound's healing, or to fix the bandage, or to replace it. So since you're always going to be removing it on a somewhat regular basis, that's considered to be makdid. Since you're always inevitably going to be removing it, that's considered makdid. Now, according to that logic, you could follow that if you have something that you can't remove, like a cast, then more reason to be makel, potentially. If you're not going to remove it to check on things because you can't move it, you can't remove it, even if you wanted to. Chuvas Har Tzvi, Yeredeya Simen Kuf Samachay, Tzvi Pesach Frank, Yeredeya Simen Kuf Samachay, was asked about a cast, Le'inyan Chazitza. Person has a cast on a finger, has to stay there for months. What do you do about Tfilas Mitzvah? He says, you see from the fact that Ritiya, in principle, Shulchan Aruch is a chatzitza, that the fact that it's there for a medical need doesn't make it Eino Makbid in and of itself. He says, if there's no sakana to remove the cast, then you should remove it. Especially because if someone sees you going to the mikveh with the cast, then they may come to take chatzitzas more lightly. And better that you should just wait until the cast is removed, even if it'll be a few months. But if you're worried that the husband's going to come, lidei aveira, hirhuri aveira, b'frat b'dorenu d'oryosom, kidei latzila me'aveira chamura, so he's not excited about bimeko. He says better to wait even a few months to let the cast come off. But if you're worried about being nichshol, then there's one to rely on bidi eved under the shas hakak to be tova with a cast to view it as a no makbid. Presumably because of the sar sakana of removing it and the fact that you have no interest in removing it for an ability to remove it for a specified length of time. Chuvas Meshiv Davar Chelik Bei Simen Lamed Vav has another Svar Lahakel in a limited situation. Bader Shulchan talks about this on page Lamed Aleph. If you have the kind of a bandage slash cast that is somewhat embedded in the body itself, it's not just external, a part of it goes into the body. So then you have a kind of Haina Revise Svar that maybe becomes part of the body, and there's potentially more reason to be Mekel. Sitz Eliezer, Chela Dalu, Simen Tess, also about casts, is not excited about being Mekel, but the same as Har Tzvi, that if you're mom is stuck and you're worried about binichshol, then if you're unable to remove the cast, you could be makel to allow her to go to the mikvah, because mikra din, it's a miyachayda makvid, which is in chotzes. Shari Tfila quotes that same thing, that if it's going to be there for a long time, shafachat gadol, whether it's sakana or tsar, esh chashash mikshol, especially if it's in Beis Hastarim, which is only Darabanan anyway, there's what to be makel about. Rav Avadia is makel more excitedly, pages Samach Aleph to Samach Gimel, in a cast that needs to stay there for a long time. And Piskei Das, Kosim Rav Eliyashiv, Pei Shin Pei Beis, that even if it's going to be there for a long time, no grounds to be makel at all, under any circumstances, and that's the position of Sheva Levi as well. Okay, next time we'll discuss stitches and splinters, and just keep going on in Shulchan Aruch. I'll try to send you some more Maamar Gamos.